Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Happy September. With our early time back to it, everybody's bright-eyed and alert here. This is good. Thanks to everybody who supported Aluko by bringing in backpacks and school supplies. The 31st Aluko Walk and Roll for Families is September 27th at Springbank Park. And Judy and Frida would be happy to take your sponsorship as they are participating. We're returned, as we discussed, to our normal worship service time. Everyone is welcome to join us downstairs after the service for coffee and conversation. Upcoming services include September 20th, Blessing of the Pets, so please send in your pictures, and September 27th, which is Orange Shirt Sunday. If you didn't, back to the backpacks and school supplies. Richards Memorial United Church Women will meet on Tuesday at 1 p.m. and the roll call is to bring items of school supplies. If you didn't pick up one last week, the latest edition of the Acorn was printed and it was sent in the worship invitation this week and last. And thanks so much to Brad for doing all that work. The Spring Fling, oh my, big work coming up this weekend, is
fall fling,
yes, okay, moving on. The Fall Fling is Saturday, September the 12th. Donations for our yard sale and bake sale are needed. Books, houseware, sundry items can be dropped off on Thursday afternoon or Friday morning, and the baking anytime after that, I guess. If you haven't already signed up and you can help out, please look at the fundraising bulletin board for volunteer time slots. And don't forget to communicate about the yard sale to your friends and family and neighbors. This is a neighborhood one, so the whole Carling neighborhood is involved. So we usually get a good turnout for it because there's people just going around the whole neighborhood. Lois Lindsay has been in hospital for the past week, but she is getting better and soon to be discharged. Debbie Betchen had a birthday yesterday, so happy birthday, Debbie, if you're online, if you're on Zoom there. Is she there? No, not there. Well, in absentia, happy birthday to Debbie. And this past week, Lou Claypole, who was a longtime member of Roundtree in past years, died, and we send sympathy to her husband, Dick, and family.
Yes, thank you, Brad.
Well, that's good. Okay.
Thank you.
Ryan's at the ready. As a church, we're called to pray for each other and our mission in the world. This week, we pray for Tupperville United Church in Chatham, Kent.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would invite you to join with me as we share our greeting and acknowledgement of the territories. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Since time immemorial, Indigenous peoples have occupied and cared for this land, the country we know as Canada, from coast to coast to coast. Indigenous peoples have lived and journeyed on this land, weaving their identity and their spirituality intimately with the land. We acknowledge and give thanks to the land on which we live and work, and to the people who have cared for it. As settlers, we acknowledge this area as the traditional home of the Anishinaabe, the Ojibwe or Chippewa Nation, the Haudenosaunee, the Iroquois and the Oneida Nation, the Lenapawak, the Delaware people, the Attawandaron, the Neutral Nation or Algonquin people, and the Wendat, the Huron people, who loved and cared for this land. Being able to give thanks to the stewards of the land who came before us, and being able to reflect on the meaning of treaties made is an honor. With a spirit of reconciliation, we must commit to learning more about Indigenous communities and sharing our learnings with our children, our families, and with our communities. As a community of faith, we seek to rebuild right relations with the First Nations, Métis, and Inuit peoples, to learn from them and to live on this land, their land, with respect and gratitude for its creation and creator. This is our commitment. We pray for the Holy Spirit to breathe healing, justice, hope, and compassion into all our relations.
Long ago, Jesus called some unlikely fisher folk and an ostracized tax collector to follow him. In the same manner, Jesus called a surprised woman to draw water for him and then became a disciple. Today, Jesus is calling us to be light in a shadowed world. We light this candle as a reminder that we are people of the way of Jesus.
Now let us sing together our centering hymn, come in and sit down, from Voices United, number 395, sorry. Come in and sit down.
We are the world.
invite you to join with me in our call to worship. When we lack direction, loving God, show us the way. When purpose deserts us,
loving God, get us home.
When we long for friends, when we find prayer difficult,
loving God, lead us to the peaceful place.
You meet us, loving God, on the toughest paths, and you bring us home. Let us pray. Loving Creator, as we gather in this place, we feel the changes in the air and notice them in our gardens. Once again, the seasons are about to turn and display the earthly rhythms you set in motion in all their glory. We trust in your steadfastness. We believe in you, the one who has created and is creating. We trust in your goodness and wisdom. And we are grateful for your presence in our lives as we open our hearts in worship today. Amen. We'll lift our voices in song once more as we sing It's a Song of Praise to the Maker. For More Voices, number 30, It's a Song of Praise to the Maker.
It's a song of praise to the Lord.
Now, those aren't quite Blue Jay players that you see in front of you, but the team has done remarkably well in this last part of the season. Get your Blue Jay fan hearts a-thumping. How many of you played on a team sport at some point in your life? Hey, good, that's almost everybody. So how competitive were you? You know, really competitive? Moderately competitive? Yeah. Not competitive at all? That was one of the things that my husband, who was a sports fanatic and sports writer, used to just despair about me. You are just not competitive. Come on. It's like, well, I would play for the love of whatever in doing it. He tried to play tennis with me once. Didn't go well. When I would miss, I'd laugh. So it frustrated. But you know, some of us probably played on sports teams that were maybe from our schools. Or we might have played in some league, baseball or hockey, and
curling.
Oh yeah, they're competitive. Yes, they are. I did curl, and thank the Lord there were others that curled with me that had their eye on the prize. Let's just put it that way. But you know, we sometimes get really competitive with one another. And, you know, a little bit of that is okay. You know, the people like to kind of display their rivalry in some fashion. But it can get a little much at times. Now, where I grew up in Owen Sound, two high schools, West Hill, yay, and the OSCVI, boo. And we had terrible nicknames for one another. And I can remember at one point there was an intense rivalry between Western versus Guelph playing football. And Guelph was trouncing Western. And the chant from the bleachers went this way: "That's all right, that's okay, we're going to own your farm someday." Yeah, like nasty. You know, but we need to keep these rivalries in perspective and not take them so seriously. We need to remind one another sometimes at the end of the day that we're all part of one team, and that's humanity, and that we need to preserve one another's dignity. So as much as a little friendly rivalry is okay, but let's not take it over that line where it becomes something where we're insulting and degrading other people because of it. So, you know, keep your eye on the prize, but, you know, be kind and be good sportsmen. I think that's the thing about playing games and where a rivalry might be. Be a good sports person. So I think that is one of the things that God would like us to do, particularly if you think about leisure and what we do with our leisure time. And it should be beneficial to us and to the people that we're sharing that time with. So, you know, save your energy for doing more positive things than getting into a heated rivalry about such. Now, I know we see that in our sports arenas, like, you know, the baseball stands, the sports arenas, the soccer fields. You see that kind of rivalry with the fans. I mean, and they're not playing. So, you know, they get a little intense, and it's not beneficial to anyone. And it's where you end up with things that happen that can be very nasty and dangerous. I know that none of you would do that. So let us pray together. Dear God, help us to keep our rivalries in check. May we remember that we may be competing against one another, but we should also celebrate one another's accomplishments and joys. Help us to remember we are all a part of our Maker's team. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All that competition made me think of our pickleball activities here at Roundtree, where we're just having fun all the time. The First Testament reading is from Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in its maker. Let the people of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment of the peoples, on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with chains of iron, to execute them on the judgment decreed. This is glory for all his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. And the gospel reading. If your brother or sister sins against you, go out and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If you are listened to, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If that person refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them.
We have heard the word of God for God's people. May we also hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Let us pray. God, open our hearts and minds so we can fully receive the truth you need us to hear today. Kindle your truth in our hearts so others would see it revealed through our lives. Following Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. It's always a tough act to follow. One Sunday, I'm just going to sing my reflection. There we go. Just as a note, the conflict resolution that is described in our gospel lesson is in fact the conflict resolution method that the United Church of Canada follows. Now, it's a little more involved, of course, because it's, you know, the United Church of Canada, and we've got a lot more things in there. But basic, at its base, it is the same mode of dealing with conflict. And you know, wherever two or more are gathered, it can be really hard to get along. Now, this might surprise you. Churches are full of troublesome people. And we are rather expert at spotting those rabble-rousers around us and identifying their destructive habits and condemning the ways they seek to destabilize our communities, noticing when we are engaged in those very same behaviors is another story. After all, some of those troublesome people are us. And out in the world, it's not only viruses. And I was hearing a lot about that this morning, kids going back to school, the importance of inoculations, because there'll be all these viruses that they're in contact with, and they'll bring them home, and the whole family will be sick. You know, and that is a threat to our physical bodies and our emotional well-being. But there's also the deadly viruses of systematic racism, sexism, ageism, or many other isms that establish hierarchies of human value while infecting the communal bodies of the church, our community, and the world. Conflicts fester, or they explode. And sometimes that's thanks to fear or misplaced loyalty, and people talk more about one another than they talk with one another. So stir into the community mix divided loyalties and power dynamics, not to mention the challenge of discerning what actually counts as sin. You know, the one who sins against you. And it is tempting to throw one's hands in the air about prospects for resolution, in spite of the three-step process outlined in this week's reading. Much of Jesus' teaching in Matthew makes the prospects seem even more challenging. For as early as the Sermon on the Mount, his breakthrough public appearance in Matthew's account, Jesus spells out a series of virtually unattainable expectations for those who are being trained for the kingdom of heaven. If you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. Do not resist an evildoer. Love your enemies. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus sets the bar pretty high and does not let his followers off the accountability hook, but his pledge to be present with them through whatever comes is a promise that empowers them to live into their calling. Jesus encourages the church to be a community that nurtures honest dialogue and refuses to keep silent in the face of behavior that harms others. By hearing this passage in its narrative context, we might note that its primary function is less to define a universal three-step process of conflict resolution, as if following the steps will produce guaranteed results. And no, it won't. But you try, and it's a good effort. And it's more to model how to walk alongside and protect those who are being disempowered or made vulnerable, enabling them to speak so that others might hear. In Matthew's gospel, this passage is situated shortly after Jesus telling the disciples to have concern for the little ones, those who are afforded the least power within the dominant community. Jesus focuses attention on their vulnerability by centering a child in the middle of the disciples. He proclaims that it would be better to be thrown into the sea with a milestone around one's neck than to place a stumbling block before such a one. It's a strong indictment against attitudes and practices that obstruct human flourishing for all of God's children, regardless of their chronological age. In today's parlance, perhaps Jesus might have said to the disciples, "Check your privilege, people." Immediately before our passage, Jesus connects these little ones to the parable of the sheep, for whose sake the shepherd leaves 99 in order to seek the one. In Matthew's version of the parable, there is no hint that the single sheep is more sinful than the 99, nor that it has in any way be inferior to the others. It has simply been led astray. No cause is given, and the gap leaves space for our imagination. Perhaps the 99 blocked access to food or a safe place to sleep, or in some other way prevented the one from thriving. Just as the child matters to Jesus, the lone sheep matters to the shepherd. Both teachings focus the church's attention on those who face the larger risks or have the least power and the most to lose, or who will find themselves to be in a dangerous or vulnerable situation, often through no fault of their own. The process of truth-telling and accountability enjoined in this passage best takes place with careful attention to the church's call to protect the disempowered and the vulnerable ones, walking alongside them in solidarity as they speak up about the harm they have experienced. We also must keep in mind that it might be unsafe and perhaps even life-threatening for one person to call out the sin of another when the two are alone. Too often the burden of initiating this Matthew 18 process falls upon the one whose life or livelihood is on the line. Given the context, Jesus' point seems to be, insofar as it is possible, his followers are responsible for assuring accountability while also safeguarding those who are most vulnerable or at risk. Are there any leaders today who have not known the destructiveness of secrets and hushed conversations when people refuse or are unable to speak honestly to one another about their interactions? Small issues become big. Big issues become catastrophic. One solution is clear and open communication, but that requires as much listening as it does speaking. Listening is hard. Truly listening is hard. And perhaps that is why the process outlined in our gospel involves hearing or listening at every step. 4 times in the first 3 verses, Jesus makes reference to listening or refusing to listen. The repetition suggests that the call to hear one another, to listen closely to the truth of the other, is a vital component of a community grounded in the ways of Jesus. For many people, it's easier to identify the ways they have been harmed than it is to recognize the ways their actions can harm others, even if it is unintentionally. Perhaps one of the most difficult truths of this passage is a reminder of the human capacity to cause harm to others, both in the systems in which we participate, as well as our personal actions or failures to act. The steps Jesus lays out here are not a mere blueprint as much as a statement of communal values and an acknowledgement of both the frailty as well as the utter necessity of communal discernment. Love requires that we address the inevitable conflicts that will rise among us. It is not enough to sweep them under the rug and thus allow them to fester. Unaddressed conflicts can render a community unable to function as God hopes. But neither is rejection our first instinct. Separation is not to be taken lightly, even when it proves necessary. Jesus promises not to desert his disciples as they face that difficult truth and practice living more fully into the communities that God calls into being. After all, Jesus is present wherever two or three are gathered in his name, a name that means God with us, who saves people from their sins. The power for his followers to be transformed is available for the asking, as promised. Truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. May we live into this blessing. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us sing together our hymn, We Are One, from Voices United, number 402. We are one.
Thank you.
Let us come to God once more in prayer. Let us pray. Holy mystery, the very ground of our being, we seek your spirit in our worship today. We seek new life in you as we prepare for a new season in the church. Open us to call that is good and refreshing. Open us to the joy and hope of your kingdom. Open us so that we may be open in loving others as we follow the way of Jesus. Hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us offer our thanks in our grateful response as we sing together our offertory response, grateful for more voices, 182, and we're singing verse 2. Let us pray together. How good it feels to give, to share, to be of help to others. O God, in whatever way we can, we pray that these gifts of money and of ourselves will be a positive force for your purpose in our broken world and in the lives of others, through our Savior Christ. Amen. And now as we prepare to go out into the world, we'll sing together, Praise the Lord with the Sound of Trumpet, from Voices United, number 245. Praise the Lord with the Sound of Trumpet. And now may we leave this place open to God's call on our lives. May each of us be a source of healing and of kindness in this world. May we go in faith, ready to love and to serve others. In Jesus' name, may God, the lover of our souls, abide with us today and all of our tomorrows. Amen.